This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and I'm delighted today to be joined by mindset coach, speaker, workshop leader, and human design expert. She's always been fascinated by personal development. She does all of this and is also a mom to three young kids. Francesca also founded the Rise Collective, a morning mindset program 2 years ago, which has really taken off. Her coaching practices and programs are designed to empower women to live intentionally as they focus daily on their goals. She knows the power of daily practices and the impact they can have on a person's journey. And she believes by changing your mindset in the morning at 6 a.m. when they start, you can in turn change your world, allowing you to live an intentional and deeply fulfilling life. As a trained life coach, Reiki healer, and fluent in human design, neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and emotional freedom techniques, EFT, tapping. Don't worry, we'll fill you in on what all of these things mean. Francesca is on a mission to help women thrive, rise above their circumstances, and live each day to the fullest. She offers a unique coaching experience that combines energy work, human design, fascinating stuff, and practical mindset tools to help women relearn how to live their lives from a place of fulfillment mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Francesca Brunston, what a delight to have you here. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you so much for having me. Wow, it doesn't happen often that you get such a wonderful intro. So thank you. It's really lovely to properly meet you and be here today. So
you as well. Thanks. You as well. I want to congratulate you, first of all, Francesca, on all of your success with the Rise Collective and your beautiful work as a mindset coach. But before we get to all of that, to what you're doing now, I would love to go back to your early days as a celebrity hairdresser in London, England, and this whole other life that you lived for 20 years, like not for like a fortnight, like this was a serious life of 2 decades. Mm-hmm. You worked in the best salons in London. You even worked with the Queen's hairdresser. And I was fascinated to learn that often celebrities would get their hair done for free and the hairdresser would get the promotion in exchange. Yeah. And you did this for a long time. So can you take us back a little bit, just so we can have some context to those glory days backstage in film and TV in the UK, even washing George Harrison's son's hair one day when he came to get a haircut.
Yeah. Wow. It's funny. That feels like a lifetime ago and yesterday all at once. So I'm somebody who had no plans to move abroad. So I've been here in Canada and Toronto for 10 years now. But before that, I was very passionate about my career as a hairstylist. I feel like I was one of those people that just got really lucky, got in the right place at the right time, and then was really passionate about what I did and worked really hard. So I worked for a guy called Trevor Sorby, who happened to get an MBE when I started working for him, and he employed the Queen's hairdresser. And I did an apprenticeship there that at the time, all my friends were at university and I decided to do this apprenticeship. And again, I just struck it lucky. I went to apply for a Saturday job and they gave me a full-time apprenticeship. So I was in the midst of Covent Garden with celebrity hairstylists in the salon, you know, lots of people that were like household names in the UK, and I got to wash their hair. And then as time went on, I qualified as a hairstylist and I got to do some really cool things from, you know, working backstage at Fashion Week to being on morning TV behind the scenes and all of these things that kind of just like the opportunities came to me and I was just constantly saying yes. And I was, you know, young enough at the time that I had nothing stopping me doing all these things. And it was just like so much of it was unintentional and luck, and so much of it was I think, you know, being really keen and eager and loving what you do. Mm-hmm. And so when I think back to all these things, it's like sparking all of these different memories of, yes. of things I did before I had any inclination of changing careers or, you know, getting married or doing all of those things that feel like really big parts of my life now. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, it really, like you said, it really feels like they were like the glory days. And like every, the thing that was really interesting about that period in my life was that, and that kind of nature of work and the way in which I did it, I worked in salons where there was always something going on. There might be like a TV shoot in the salon or yes. someone going out to do this or that. And there was always something of interest beyond just, you know, having incredible clients coming into your chair, sure. really interesting people in a very metropolitan area of London. And every day was different and you just never really knew what was going to happen. You didn't know who was going to be in your chair. You didn't know who was going to be in the room. You didn't know who was going to ask you to do something really cool. You didn't know where that would lead. And that was so exciting. And I've really enjoyed intentionally and unintentionally kind of living my life in that way, being like, oh, I wonder what will happen next.
What next?
And here we are.
And how great that every day when you get up at 6 a.m, you can take your flat iron or your curling iron or blow dryer or whatever and just go, and your hair looks fabulous.
Thank you.
You don't have to get your hair done. You're a built-in portable.
It's funny you say that. I'm actually sat at what I call my like hair and coaching station. I have everything from Oracle cards to a flat iron next to me. Out of shot,
the
obviously.
Whole gamut, all the tools one would ever need. It's amazing. And so you're obviously a very creative person. I know you've mm-hmm. done some painting lately. Hairdressing in itself is a very creative venture. And you sort of answered this, but what did you love just about the creativity of doing hair? Like, what was it in that creative piece that you loved?
I actually loved the combination of all of it. Like, I loved being in and amongst fashion and beauty mm-hmm. and being able to offer an experience that I get to feel creative in, but also has an impact on somebody else.
Yes.
And having, you know, lived that experience in different ways in my career and then moving into what I do now, I think there was a piece of, I've really been fascinated by people and their stories. And I love to create and, you know, do something that helps people, but also do something that feels like tangible, like there's a before and an after.
Yes, you can see the result.
Yeah, you right? can see the result. Yeah. And so it's funny because in the pandemic, when we couldn't do those things, I actually, as much as I missed the creativity, I could replace that in some ways, but I couldn't replace the human connection piece and the stories and that and those yes. relationships. And so I realized that, you know, sometimes creativity can come in so many different ways, and even just storytelling that you get to do on the hour, every hour with someone, you get to receive and give that is, oh, it's just such a lovely way to spend your day.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lovely. It's so fascinating. You even appeared, if I read this correctly, in a Britney Spears video, If You Seek Amy, one of her less popular songs, where you played a news reporter. Was that fun? Oh, no, was that scary?
So I did the news reporter.
Oh, you did the news reporter. Okay.
So I had got asked to do, one of my friends at the time and colleagues was a really incredible makeup artist. And he said he liked to have me there if he was wanting someone, they might often get asked to just touch the hair up, and he would be like, oh, I'm not going to do that. But he would like bring me along. And then when I got there, he was like, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you it's a Britney Spears video. And I'm like, you forgot to tell me that. And it turns out she wasn't actually there. It was all green screen, but they wanted it to look kind of as ridiculous as possible. Almost like news report with very flicked out hair, like almost like a U-bend at the bottom. And so because I'm then like, this is going to be in a Britney video, I'm like sweating. But it was so fascinating because it was, you know, big budget, like everyone was really confident there. I was only about 23 at the time, and it was just the buzz of doing it was so cool. Fabulous. So I wasn't in it, but anytime I've seen that video and it's right at the very beginning, you can't miss it. I'm like, oh my God, that was
That's
me.
My hair.
And also it looked obviously completely different. Like what I experienced and what you see on the screen is obviously so different.
So different. That was cool. The magic of showbiz.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, what happened when you and your husband decided in a pub one night that you were going to move to Toronto, Canada, to another country? Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be a temporary thing. And as you've mentioned, you've been here for 10 years now. And many people are very happy about that, of course, that are lucky enough to work with you. How did all of this evolve? What happened in that pub? He had a job and he didn't quite love. And it was one of these, I guess, when you're in your 20s and you can make those decisions unfettered.
Yeah, we'd actually just got married and we were in a little bit of transition. You know, for many of us, or for me, my experience was like, you're just, everything revolves around the wedding. And then you go on your honeymoon and you come back and you're like, oh, okay, life exists outside of this. Yes. And we were really happy with our life, but we both felt like we wanted a bit of a change with our job. Neither of us knew what it was. And I wouldn't say we were unhappy, but it was like, what's next? This isn't it. And, you know, I knew at some point I would like to start a family, and my job was just not family friendly whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And for my husband, he really felt like in his job, somebody had to leave or retire, or for him to move anywhere. There was no movement.
That was the right place. Yes.
Yeah. And so again, an opportunity come to us. He got asked if he would consider getting a promotion, but in another office.
Wow.
And I was like, immediately no. And I said, unless, you know, something happens where we're like, absolutely, we should do that. And it was a really strange series of events that went on around my 30th birthday, where it all kind of started as a joke. And by the end of the weekend, my husband was like, do you need any more signs? And I was like, this is almost ridiculous. So I said, yes. Okay, I'll consider it. And after that, everything just kind of slotted into place, almost like it was meant to be. And within about 6 weeks, we was living here. I'd never even visited Canada in any capacity before.
Wow.
But just before, we thought that our visas were falling through. So we'd rented our house out. We'd done all of the things you have to do to move abroad. And it was like, oh, the visa isn't going to come in time for him to start the job. And in that happening, I think if anyone else has had this experience where something almost gets taken away from you, but it doesn't, and you're like, oh my God, I actually want to go more than I thought. Right. And I think that was such a gift for us. So it went from absolutely no way to, okay, maybe, to, okay, like, I can't say no because this is ridiculous, to, oh my God, I actually want to go. Don't take this opportunity away. So it was
That's so brave. That's so brave. What we do when we're young, then we don't think about it. I mean, I'm older as well. So I think you're younger than me. I don't know. But
I'm about to turn 40.
Oh, you're much younger than me. Much. Enjoy this.
Well,
in a decade.
You look amazing.
Well, thank you. So you get to Toronto. Mm. And you became pregnant with the first of your four children. You are the mother of four.
Yes.
You thought you were going to be a super mom, and tragedy struck. You lost your first child. And
I did.
Just want to say, I'm so sorry.
Thank
for
you.
This unimaginable loss. It's a child.
Yeah.
And so your second child really wasn't your first. It was your second.
Exactly.
Right? And
yeah.
Then you had your third and your fourth. Your best friend passed away from breast cancer. The only friend that you had in Toronto.
Yeah.
And when I read this, I could only imagine how scary and lonely and grief-stricken you must have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I have to ask you how you survived all of this and how you kept moving forward, because you weren't at home with Creature Comforts. You were in another strange land without a best friend, probably a husband who was working.
Mm-hmm.
How did you cope?
Over a period of time, because this was a little bit spread out, I threw myself into mostly creative endeavors. When I first got here and I was very newly grief stricken, and I was like, I had the realization, I'm not going to get a job. I don't have the capacity to talk in a salon to someone on the hour every hour. I went to every single craft workshop the city has to offer.
Really?
I made everything from like a leather handbag to pillows to, I don't know. And I really found that process very cathartic. I also met a lot of people and I realized that the combination of community, and that's how I met my friend, actually. I met her at a knitting class.
Oh,
and
so nice.
I was a very shy person before I moved here, which people find hard to believe now. And I kind of realized that bad things usually of some kind happen to everyone, and we all have our own worst moment, and that feels the same, no matter what the worst looks like to us at this point in time. But it's like, I really felt this sense of, now what? What can I do with this? Like, originally my quest was obviously to have another child, and that had happened somewhat quickly. And then I just really wanted to meet people and express, like, I found it very cathartic in different ways to talk about my journey and kind of express that through businesses, hobbies, community building in all different ways.
Yeah, I totally understand. I understand that so well, because I have a dear friend who passed away of cancer. Her name was Donna. And she always said, when you mention the name of the person that has passed, it's sort of like a double blessing. Like,
so
it
much.
Keeps them alive.
And, it really
and,
does.
And they are in their soul, of course, as we know. Mm-hmm. Any spiritual being knows that that soul lasts forever and beyond. And right. So
I think when it comes to a child, especially a baby, people was kind of scared of me, I think. And I had no capacity to, I don't even know what the word is. I used to say like lie, but I had no capacity to say anything that then how I felt, what it was, what was happening. So I was very direct at the time. I've softened that a little bit now. But I loved it when people said my baby's name. I loved it when people called me a mum, even though I didn't have a child to care for. And I think, like you say, it's like, and now when people ask about my friend True, or, you know, her birthday comes up or something like that, it's just such a beautiful thing to honor and remember them. It is, I really agree. I love the way you put it as that double blessing.
Yes. Wow. Again, I'm so sorry that you went through this, and I'm grateful that you found comfort and you're giving comfort to so many people, even by telling the story that have experienced similar loss. And you went on to have three kids, all under the ages of 3.5 in a very short period, right? A 3-year period. You had three more children and you did become super mom.
Thank you.
And I mean, it's incredible. And then of course that P word happened, the pandemic.
Yep.
COVID, coronavirus. I remember I was at Zoomer 2020 or whenever that was, March 14th.
Yeah.
One of my guests said, Judy, I think this is the last time you're going to be physically in the station. You're going to have to do it somewhere else. It's coronavirus. It wasn't even called COVID.
I know.
Right. And this was the beginning of your transition to your career, midlife, even not really midlife, because
it felt midlife.
You're even young midlife now, but it was half of your life, let's say, into coaching. And I know that a friend of yours became a coach, encouraged you to do the same. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about how you got into coaching and how this all came to be?
Sure. So when you say about that beginning stage, my daughter was 6 weeks old. My mum had arrived that day, and my whole plan was get as many family in. You've got three kids under 3.5. One's a newborn, one is a baby, and get all the help. So I went from this like plan of overindulge in help, do it like, you know, anyone who's had multiple kids will know, like by the time you get to having what you think is going to be your last, you're like, okay, I've got this. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say yes to everything. So that obviously didn't go that way. And so it really was like, wow, you're on your own, and you really are. And, you know, my husband was working, even though it was in the house, our living situation wasn't what I wanted. And I really turned to self-development. I was like, now what? My friend had just started coaching. She helped me with coaching. And I felt like that was my lifeline. It was a bit of a sink or swim moment for me. And it very consciously chose to swim. Even my own family were like, you just need some rest and a break. And I was like, but that's not coming. So I held on to like the moments in the day where I could have time to myself. So whether it was to listen to a podcast, to do my journaling, I looked for those pockets.
Yes. And I had coffee, that 2 minutes with the hot,
just
beautiful
something
coffee,
where
right?
Everyone was sleeping or like whatever. And I had this magical gift from my daughter for about 6 weeks. She slept till about 7:30 and my husband didn't start work till 7:30 ish. So I would wake up at 6, like very naturally at the time, and I would go for a walk on the boardwalk. Mm. And that was my me time. I would go look at the sunrise. If I got back in time before anyone woke up, I would journal. And I just felt like it was so sacred. And I didn't really know at the time I was creating a morning routine for myself. I was just like, I have to get this and it's so precious. And then what happens in the day. And I know there's right. no escaping anything, but this is for me. And that's when I would do my homework from my coach. That's when I would research things. And it just become this time that was put towards this sort of future dream of my own, I guess. I didn't even know what that was, to be perfectly honest. And then I would do my coaching calls with my baby on my lap and I would, you know, have like, okay, this is the hour that I do this. So I was always holding on to those moments and those moments got bigger. My kids got older. I found different ways, creative ways to find the time. And long story short is I did some online courses and then I loved it so much. I then put myself through other people's programs. And then I was like, whenever I could, I was like learning something, reading something, and it was all just in my spare time. And long story short, I guess I came to a point where I really wanted to take on clients, but I still had 3 young kids at home, not enough childcare, no family support. I'd put all my money invested into getting to this point. And I was like, what am I going to do? My kids are always sick. And so I had sort of like one group and some ad hoc coaching and couple of friends and I started a morning practice and everything just sort of naturally evolved. I wasn't like, I'm going to do this and this is how it's going to go. It was like one step, one step, one step. And almost everything has come from me teaching myself stuff, me learning stuff myself, my own. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I teach that I don't do first. I actually don't know how I would teach something without doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I become this like filtering system where I would just be sharing what I was doing and how much joy it was bringing me or, you know, how it was making me feel better and in which way. And that's kind of been my process ever since, really.
It's amazing. And it really took off. And so I was fascinated when doing research for this show to learn that part of what you do, and I hadn't really been aware of it, so I really was fascinated by it, is that you studied human design.
Yes.
And my understanding of it is that it combines astrology, which I love. So this resonated so much. The Chinese I Ching, Judaic Kabbalah, Vedic philosophy, and modern physics, centering around the division of personalities into 5 energy types that show us how someone can more harmoniously interact with the world. And these 5 types are manifestors, generators, manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors, which provide a broad overview of an individual's worldly and cosmic interface. Yeah. Can you say more briefly about all of this and how you came to human design and how you're able to help people with this philosophy? Yeah. Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. And when we come back, we'll hear all about human design and what it's all about. It's fascinating stuff. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And I'm here with mindset coach Francesca Brunston. And just before the break, Francesca, I was asking you what human design is and how you are able to help people with this amazing philosophy.
Yeah. So my experience from living here, having, you know, 4 childbirth experiences and what that triggered for me every time was soul searching. It's like, okay, I have this beautiful baby and I felt like I would change as a person and I would be asking myself, well, who am I now and what am I going to do? And because I didn't come here for my career and because I didn't have, like my husband had, he had that sort of net of his job that was the remaining constant. Everything was constantly changing for me in my constant soul searching. The fourth time around, I was like, well, what am I going to do now? I can't be a hairstylist. It's not possible. It's not available. And I'm not sure that the way in which didn't seem like it was slotting into my life in an easy way. Yes. So I don't know where I got to on the internet or how I found this, but I found human design. Maybe someone else was talking about it. I have no idea. But the long story short is I found it, and it was like everything that I thought that was wrong about me. And I don't even know if I want to say wrong, but it was like I'd spent my life trying to fit in. It was like finally I'd come home to myself and I understood that instead of the things that I was trying to change were actually exactly who I was. It was like someone had given me, they use the word blueprint a lot in human design, like given me my blueprint. And I was like, I just felt immediately like a sigh of relief. And I stopped trying to change who I was. I'd begun to understand who I was. And as I said, with everything, I'm like, I get fascinated and then I want to tell everyone about it.
And share it.
And it's so fun because you've obviously been researching it. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder what this person is. I wonder what this person is. And so my curious, nosy nature meant that I was like, well, now I want to know who everyone is. You know, you start by looking up your family and researching it. And you can find so much for free on the internet, which is amazing. And then you can dive deeper. And then I really felt that if I was going to coach someone, I wanted to give them that experience to be like, okay, I get it now. And I find it really helpful in times of transition. And so, yeah, I decided, why not study it? Why not have this be something that I can offer to other people, even if it's in a small way of me understanding how I can help them, or to go, if they're really interested, to go deeper and help them understand their human design. So.
Right. It's
so great.
These are all beautiful tools. And,
thank you.
And I understand, like, as a coach, you want to have as many tools in your toolkit that resonate. They have to be real and authentic for you. And you have to, as you say, experience them yourself and get them. Like, tapping is something I actually do as well. I don't think I'm a big expert, but I know I help people when I do it. Friends, family, clients. It's just a simple thing. I don't know if I'm so advanced in it, but it's sort of like...
And I actually think that's a really good example, because I've had lots of conversations about tapping, and somebody shared with me once about it being something that's been passed down through different lineages. And because I was saying, oh, you know, I've only got this certification. And she was like, no, this is something we can all share. And like, you did such a beautiful meditation before we joined. And I think these things, sometimes we think we need, you know, obviously if you're a doctor, you need certain qualifications.
But
I think with these tools, if you can use them and they help you, you can share some of that expertise. Yes. And I think tapping is such a great example. And the proof's in the pudding, right? Like, I felt so much calmer after you shared the meditation. I'm sure you feel calmer after you tap. And and if you can do that for yourself, then that's incredible if you have that tool. And if you can, like, delve deeper and share it with someone in any way, then I think that's such a gift.
Yes. How lucky are your clients that you really have studied all these things and you do them so well? Plus, you have this wonderful accent. I have to tell you, the accent helps a lot. It's amazing. It's amazing. Did you study with Robert Allen Krakauer, also known as Ra Uruhu, who's, I think his brainchild was this, or were there many different people?
For human design?
Yes.
Yes. So I think he's, from my understanding, he's like one of the people that founded it. Yes. I studied with a woman called Jenna Zoe, and I really love the fact that because human design, it's like some people will often say to me, you know, want me to explain it. And I think what I love about the way she teaches it, and I think this is what I also do in my own way, is that you can get all of this information on the internet. You can get so much and you can bombard yourself. But I try and make people understand it on a level that makes it easy to integrate into their life.
Nice.
And to make it applicable to them rather than being super overwhelmed. And then I always say this analogy, which is when you look it up, there's all these different puzzle pieces, and you can get every puzzle piece on the internet, and you can go super deep on like intricate pieces of those puzzle.
Right.
But what does it mean when you put the puzzle together? What do you see?
Right.
And how can you make that puzzle go together as simply as possible, because you could spend a whole weekend, years putting the puzzle together.
Right.
Or someone could go, oh, look, those pieces go there. And you're like, oh, thanks. So I that's the way I explain how I help it, simplify it, look at it intuitively and holistically, and make the pieces come together to make a puzzle.
Yes. And that's what you're a master at. And that's what you're masterful at, because anybody can take the pieces of the puzzle, or I always say the pieces of the fabric of the quilt, and go, well, they're all beautiful, but where do they all go? But you're a master at helping people put them together, which I think relies on intuition. Mm. And I know you use intuition a lot in your work and on so many things.
Yeah.
So it's not just I see what you're saying. You could delve into it in such an intense way, or you could have someone like you, like Francesca, who's going to help you put it all together. So my question for you is,
yes,
at your core, what did you learn about yourself? And I don't mean as the hairdresser, the mindset coach, the creator of the Rise Collective, which I promise we're going to get to, super mom, wife, daughter, but I'm just fascinated to know at your core, if you were writing a book about Francesca, about yourself, and you had to write a paragraph about this character that nobody was ever going to get to meet, they had to meet her through this paragraph. How would you describe who you are, just as a person, as a human being at your core, that you learned through all of this?
I think I'll segue from what you said before. For me, intuition is more important than anything else. And my life has, and I say it so often in all of the ways in which I share my skills with people, in every career I've had, is that I really believe we know the answers and we have them within. And I feel like I'm a very heart-led person. And sometimes externally, it looks like I'm going down a very different path to other people, or that I'm going against the grain. But I really feel like I have learned over and over and over again the same lesson, which is to lead from the heart, to do what's right for you, even when it doesn't make sense. Yeah. And kind of really trust your gut. And
so true.
I think intuition is very undervalued.
Yes.
And you can give so many different names to it, depending on what your value system is and what you believe. And yet there's something about it that you just can't quite pinpoint. And only you have the key to that knowing, that feeling, however it manifests for you, that voice, that, like, I mean, I happen to know from human design how it does manifest in people's bodies.
Yes.
But for me, it's very gut-led. It's very like, I know. And sometimes I can ignore it and ignore it and ignore it, and it gets more and more and more and more obvious. And
absolutely.
So I think I have learned to encapsulate that, and now I try to intentionally be that person.
Yes.
And live for now. Really try and live for now.
Yes.
Which I know is so hard to do, and when you're a parent and when you're, I don't know, living the life that we live in this day and age. But I would say I really do think I embody that.
That's amazing. You do.
Thank you.
You strike me as a very calm, tranquil, serene person. Are you, or have you learned to do that?
I think I am naturally by default. I think the last 10 years has tested my resiliency and my resolve more than I was somebody who didn't really understand what anxiety was 10 years ago. I probably would have thought of it as like butterflies in your tummy before you go do something. Like, I really didn't.
Yes.
I hadn't experienced it to resonate with it. And now I've absolutely experienced it in lots of different ways. And so I really think I now go out of my way to make that my state of being. It's very important to me. Yeah. In fact, there was something that I read yesterday, and I hope I can remember this, but it was something along the lines of, without serenity, nothing else has any value. It was put more beautifully than that. And I was like, wow, I feel that, I want that, I believe that.
Yes.
But now it's on a very conscious level. Like,
yes.
I feel like my life can be very stressful, and the version of me that isn't those things can come out, but I'm consciously trying to be that. Or I don't like the word trying. I'm consciously being that for the most part.
Yes.
Working absolutely. On it. Working
well, it's working. It's
Thank
working.
You.
It's wonderful. So we're going to talk about the Rise Collective, your brainchild. 6 a.m, eh?
I know. I promise you don't have to do this at 6 a.m. either.
morning mindset program. So it reminded me, and I know you talk about this, of things like Robin Sharma's 5 a.m. Club. He's been on the show before.
Oh, wow.
And the other one, The Miracle Morning. Mm-hmm. What characterizes the Rise Collective, which I have on very good authority, is fabulous, Leslie. Thanks,
oh,
Leslie.
Yeah. She's amazing.
She is really incredible and powerful, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say characterizes it from all the others? What makes it work so well? We're going to find out all about the Rise Collective and what makes it so different from all the rest when we come back from this commercial break. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, and I'm here with mindset coach Francesca Brunston. So, Francesca, can you tell us what characterizes the Rise Collective and what makes it so different from all the rest?
I think there's two pieces that make it maybe different from maybe the overall concept of the 5 a.m. club and, well, one, it's not 5 a.m., and the Miracle Morning.
Yes.
Is that two things. It is a collective. It's a group of women. It's very much like leading yourself from the heart. It's not all about the outcome of the goal. It's very much about enjoying the journey. So what can you do today? How can you center yourself? And how can you be that relaxed woman that we just talked about, be serene and so on. And I think the other thing is, you know, the togetherness. It's not just about you. It's about all of us. And I'm, you know, sometimes I have bad days. I still get up and I lead. But it's like, I know that there's other women there who are waiting for me. And I know that the accountability really helps a lot of people in the group.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, we could all do this separately. There's nothing that I am doing that people can't do without me. I'm providing the space, the time, the leadership, I guess, so they don't have to think, oh, now I'm going to do this. It's like,
right,
you just show up and it happens. And even if you zone out, you're still experiencing something where you have to do as little as possible to gain the sort of before and after of your morning. And it really only started at 6 o'clock so that I could get in there before my kids woke up too. I'm going to probably put it to 6:30 soon. But for me, it's less about the time. Usually that's what trips people up. They're like, oh, I'm not a morning person, or six is too early. But it's actually about taking that time for yourself in the morning. It does not matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'd probably argue at some point in the day, I just find, why not set yourself up for the day? Why wait till lunchtime to feel set up and grounded?
Yes.
But lunchtime's better than no time, or bedtime's better than no time. So,
of course.
So, yeah.
In it, you employ meditation. You employ many things. Can you give us just sort of a rundown of what happens and how people can join or try it out? I know there's a tryout element as well, if they wish.
So I usually give people the opportunity to try, see it's for them, see if they enjoy it, if they have the capacity to fit that in with their lives. So what you can expect is I usually get on at 5:55 and welcome people. So we just have relatively calm music. People come in, they say hi, they might say something in the chat. I have something on the screen, usually a question for someone to ponder. And then I start the guided practice. So I think the beauty of having someone else do it for you is it's not the same all the time. So although there's things that are repetitive, I try and mix it up a little bit. But the three things that stay the same for the most part are visualization or meditation. So that can be breathing. That can be like heart space breathing. That can be me doing a very detailed visual of maybe how you're going to experience summer. Sometimes it's more of a visualization, but there's that aspect that's going to ground you, give you a chance to think about what's the best case scenario of how you want whatever it is we're talking about to go.
Yes.
And then there's journaling piece. So I help people set intentions. So they might practice writing it out, or I might give a very specific question, but it's all around getting your mind focused on, you know, what are you heading towards? What do you want for yourself? How do you want to feel? Which so many people don't even have a space in their day to give it a second thought.
Of course, of course.
And, you know, have that cathartic practice of actually physically writing, or at the very least thinking about what you would write if you was awake enough to hold a pen.
That's great.
And then I share some sort of form of inspiration. Sometimes it's a reading from a book. Sometimes it's a quote that I'll elaborate on. Sometimes I might pull an oracle card. It really, really depends on, I do most of what I decide to teach intuitively, and most of it's based on what I'm loving. So there's always these three aspects. So the inspiration, the chance to meditate, and the chance to journal. And then that's kind of guided to music.
Wow. And the journaling piece is reminding me a bit of Julia Cameron, The Artist's Way.
Yes.
She's been on the show as well, way back in season one, when
Amazing.
I didn't know what I was doing. In fact, I'd love to do that.
Oh, I bet you did. I bet we wouldn't even be able to tell.
But she was, I mean, that morning pages, it just shows you how powerful. And again, Julia Cameron says morning is the time. You can't do it at midnight. You've got to do it, intentionally at the beginning of your day. So it's beautiful. And there's no question that when you have someone shadowing you, and especially a group, it's even more powerful because you're not alone in the rowboat. I always say that. You don't have to be alone, be with a group. But even in theater, my daughter's an actor living in New York, a singer and an actor. And, and she talks about how much, yes, it's great to be a lead, but it's also so wonderful to be part of an ensemble. And that's what this sounds like a beautiful living ensemble.
Yeah.
That meets
and
every
I feel like I'm part of it as much as, you know, it's my business. It's what I put my heart and soul into. Like, I'm in the boat with them. I don't feel like I'm there leading the ship going, you guys should do this. Sometimes when I give the prompt, I'm literally in this exact spot with my journal too.
Yes.
But yeah, I love her concept, and it's very much based on that. It's like, either it is just that opportunity to be with your pen, to focus on your intention, or sometimes it's like, here's a prompt, take it or leave it. it's fitting that all in within about half an hour.
And are there a lot of tears?
I get emotional sometimes. I often read a poem, or things will come to me, you know, like you just see something like, oh, I have to share that with them. And I'm often teary. People will share that they're teary or that they've had a release. And I think that's what happens when you lead from the heart, right? Like it means something.
Yeah.
It goes beyond. And I think I talk about goals and setting intentions all the time, but I don't think the outcome is ever as important as your experience of it. And yes, you want to celebrate that milestone or that thing that you've achieved, or like having the guts, I guess, to go for something. But it doesn't mean anything if you've hated every day leading up to that, or whatever.
So
I always come back to that. And I think that's an emotional experience that perhaps we don't give enough credit for sometimes.
So true. So true. So it's exercising your mind in the morning.
Yes.
And everybody says that it's an amazing thing. How can people sign up for it?
You can go to the link in my bio, or you can go directly to my website, and there's a link there to try for free. There's also the opportunity to just decide, I'm all in, I'm going to do this. And if you do that, you can use Rise Summer, which will give you 50% off your first month.
Nice. We're going to give you all this info, by the way, everyone, at the end of the show.
Thank you.
And you also do mindfulness meditation with the people you work with. Can you paint us a picture? Is it like a 3-minute meditation or 5-minute meditation, or it depends?
In the morning, it's usually around 5 minutes. I would say, 5 to 10 minutes. I try to kind of put each section of the practice into like 5 to 10 minute slots.
Nice.
To give enough time for each. Yeah.
Nice. But,
and I also love to hear from people. So if people want to slide into my DMs or send me an email, or share any queries. Usually people have like a barrier, like I can't get up, or I've got this many kids. I've done whatever they're thinking or worrying about, I've probably overcome. So I probably have a cheat sheet answer for you. So
You've got this. So Francesca, you were on the Leslie Lives. Leslie is part of the Rise Collective. She's also a long-time coaching client of mine. And it was a beautiful show. Mm-hmm. And you asked me, I was in that show in the chat.
Yeah, but I was glued to my seat.
Yeah, you're glued to your seat.
I really enjoyed it.
It was so fun. It was really fun. And you asked me about flow, and I couldn't remember the author of the book, Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience, which I know I'm probably still going to say the name wrong, but I'm going to try it. Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, who wrote the book Flow.
Wow.
And I'm curious about why you asked me about it and what flow means for you.
So it was interesting when that was airing, I was kind of like reconnecting with my creativity, which is funny that, you know, we've touched on that today. And I hadn't ever really thought before I'd, you know, met you and heard you talk, I hadn't thought about bliss. And I think I was experiencing, and I love the power of words. I just think, and bliss is such a beautiful word.
Yes.
And I was thinking, I think that's what I'm experiencing when I'm in the flow state. And I was kind of having this thought process at the time, you know, she said, do you have a question? And so I wondered if to you they meant the same thing or, I was just really curious because I hadn't thought of that as a word. And I was imagining that place that I get to.
So lovely.
Often even in meditation, I'll close my eyes and lead people on it. And I'm like, I hope I didn't take too long. And it's for me, I think they feel so similar.
Yes.
And I've been really intentionally, and I'm more so after hearing you talk, wanting to connect with that this summer. Like I feel like everything I'm trying to filter through, am I in flow? Can I be like, how can I access that?
Yes.
So that was such a gift from listening to you talk. So thank you.
That's so lovely. You also have a podcast called We're All Morning People, where you share insights on thriving amidst life's challenges. Tell us about that.
So the podcast is actually attached to the Rise Collective. Every episode that is recorded in the morning airs on our private podcast. So if anyone ever misses an episode, or at the moment we're on what I call integration week, we have like 1 week off of live calls a month where we connect in person, which we did today. And people can go back and listen to any of the sessions
that they missed. Great.
So you don't have that sense of like, oh, I'm behind. Oh my God, I missed it. It's like, I think it's a sum of all parts. You don't have to be there every day to get this experience. And I hate anything that makes people feel like they are not doing it right. I'm always saying,
or FOMO.
You come to 15 calls, but there was 16 and you feel like a failure. I was like, no, you're celebrating the 15 and you can go back if you want to the 16th or whatever
it
might be.
That's so true.
So yeah, the podcast lives on there. I often throw in some bonus stuff and extra guided practices. Or anything that really inspires me, but it's mostly for my clients. I do send out a pep talk though every Sunday. I send out an audio pep talk to my newsletter.
That's great.
So it's kind of like my week's musings and my life lessons and what's going through my filtering system.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah.
That's so wonderful.
Thanks.
What is something about you, Francesca, that people would be surprised about? And also, and I know this is a double barrel question, what is your ultimate dream or goal in the work that you do at this stage?
At this stage, okay, what people be surprised about me is that I'm quite sarcastic, probably. you might be able to guess, maybe that's not obvious. I don't take life too seriously. Like there's not really, like, it's very hard to upset me because I feel like I had quite a light-hearted spirit and I like to joke. People don't often get my jokes. So yeah, I really do like to laugh. And I think when you do a job that's so heavily on like progression and growth and self-development, it's very serious.
Yes.
And so I like to kind of like cut that a little bit. I make people dance on a Friday on our calls. I think sometimes there's so much value in being silly, and I have a really silly side that maybe people don't see. And then I think to answer your second part of your question, I feel like, again, the message that feels so important to me is what I want to share, which is no matter what's going on in your life, and obviously I've had different experiences with this, it doesn't matter whether you're in tragedy or like you're in a great season of life, enjoying each day is so important. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't think when this next thing happens or when you get over this. I've actually had some of my best days amidst the worst days of my life. And some of my most cherished memories are actually on what other people would assume were the worst days of my life. And I think actually when something really bad happens, you have no capacity to care about stupid things that would normally bother you on an average day. But you almost have this ability to see a little bit more magic in the like little things that you're like, oh wow, like can you believe like we like this happened? Or you know, like those synchronistic moments you start telling someone by you're never gonna believe this, but this happened.
Yeah.
I think you have more access to that sometimes when you're a bit like broken.
Absolutely.
So yeah, living intentionally, I feel like I say that over and over again all the time, where it has less power, but I think you have more power than you think to live and choice, you know, how you experience your day, no matter what's going on. So that's really important to me.
What is bliss for Francesca Branson?
Oh, bliss at the moment is simplicity, doing less and being offline, which is ironic because I do so much online. I'm really finding that I want to be more intentional with my online time. And that I want to disconnect from it and really be lost in that flow state. So whether it's painting or being with my kids and having my phone down, and like listening to every word they say.
Yes.
Like really that for me, like the presence of just enjoying the simple things right now really feels really blissful.
Lovely. Well, I have to tell you, this has been blissful to be here with you today. I want to thank you
so much
for this beautiful time. And what is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and become part of the Rise Collective? Can I come to a trial?
You absolutely can. We are having a break for the next 2 weeks, but we'll be back with Bells On in July. And I would absolutely love to send you an invite, and anybody else who's listening, you can email me, slide into my DMs. There should be a form on my, the link in my bio. But like I run pretty much everything myself. So come and say hi. I would love to personally connect.
Thank you so much. So Francesca Brunsden on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Where else can people find you?
You can find me on my website, www.franniandco.com. And they're kind of like the main places I hang out. I'm also Francesca at franniandco.com. And I love good old fashioned email.
Yes, I know. It's the best. It's so the best.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Francesca. This has been so delightful. Can I ask you when your birthday is?
It's September the 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good birthday, Virgo.
But yeah, I am. Yeah.
I'm Pisces. I'm your opposite. You're logical.
We're a great fit.
We're a great fit. Wow. Each week we spotlight a fabulous person who is living their bliss. So, if you are an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we would love to hear from you. We also love to feature singer-songwriters on the show. So if you're a singer, please reach out to us. Also, what did you love about today's show? That's easy. Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm the Bliss Coach that helps people find their passion and purpose. Just write to me at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrach. And of course, you can always follow us at the Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. In Bliss News, we have an exciting summer giveaway courtesy of Out on a Limb. You will have the chance to win a gorgeous PJ Salvage pajama set valued at $195. This luxurious pajama set features a vibrant, eye-catching design with pink, yellow, and purple hues. Made from the finest, softest materials, the set includes a pretty and lightweight cami and matching pants. The fabric is breathable, ensuring that you stay comfortable, whether you're lounging on a summer day or curling up on the couch with your family. To enter this giveaway, all you have to do is go to my Instagram page, at the Bliss Minute, for all the contest details. Just like and follow at the Bliss Minute on Instagram and at Out on a Limb, and a lucky listener will have the chance to win this beautiful summer pajama set. The contest is live right now, and it closes on Tuesday, July 2nd at 6 p.m. Good luck, everyone, and happy lounging. I would like to thank our wonderful guest, Francesca Brunston, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Meg Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Olivia Weatherall, associate producer Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannuziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. We're going to close out the show today with a short meditation. And I'm getting this meditation from a beautiful book called The Book of Calm, 250 Ways to a Calmer You. And here it is. Meditation is about focusing your mind and concentrating on your breath. You can meditate anywhere at any time, especially if you keep it simple. Try this simple meditation to calm your mind whenever you're feeling stressed. All you have to do is follow the breath and anchor it to a word or a phrase. So the first thing you're going to do is inhale and say silently to yourself, peace. Let's try that now. Breathing in. And on the inhale, just think the word peace. And then you exhale. And on the exhale, say silently to yourself, relax. Let's try that again. Breathing in, peace, and breathing out with the word relax. Inhale, peace. Exhale, relax. Have no agenda, just the breath. This seems almost too simple, but the results can be significant in terms of releasing stress, slowing down, and centering yourself. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.